Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Marlene Lockhart and I speak with Dionne Contine. She is off council with Kemp for Kroll, but has an interesting past. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Elisa Cafferata, Don Tatro, and John Sandy IV. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
From your house to the White House, the folks at D&D Roofing can get it fixed with their eyes closed.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology like this electronic eye that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Chan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Chan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome for the first time to the program, Dionne Contine, off council with Kemp for Kroll. Pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So what I want to talk about, initially at least, is when you were at the Nevada Department of Taxation, you oversaw the whole transition into legal marijuana. What was that like?
It was a lot of fun.
In what way?
So it was, you know, it was a challenge. It was something that was new, something that had never been done before, trying to figure out the puzzle. I mean, we had a quick start from start to finish. We had a short timeline.
Quicker than anybody else, right?
Yeah, and just kind of putting all that together and, you know, when it was finally embraced and the money was put into the budget and our responsibility was to make it happen in that short time frame, it was just, you know, a focus and what are the pieces that have to be done and how do we put this together so that we can allow for, you know, the tightly regulated market that the governor envisioned, but businesses to also be successful and be able to operate. And so it was a fun experience because it was something new and exciting and a bit of a puzzle to put together.
And you had to turn into quite the bulldog at a certain point because it looked like it was going to get delayed and you wanted that money in the budget.
Well, I didn't want the money in the budget, but yes, there was a signal from both the governor's recommended budget and then the legislature that they were going to also include that money. So I kind of saw it as my job to make sure that the program got going and got going in the way that the policymakers anticipated it. And so I was somewhat singly focused on, you know, that process and getting that done, yes.
And where did you look? I mean, did you look at Colorado? What other states did you look at to see what kind of taxation system they had in place?
So initially, when the initiative passed, we had obviously a very robust set of regulations and structure for our medical program. So first looking at that, then looking at other states like Colorado where they had done an adult use program. And then we also, the governor signed an executive order to do a task force, so putting that together. There were probably about 100 people that participated in that from industry, law enforcement, the medical marijuana agency people, and just public health people, public safety. So it was just that process as well. So kind of those different structures and those processes that were already in place, what's good about them, analyzing what's good about them, what would work in this system, what do we need to do, what does the initiative require us to do, and what do we need to do that is outside of the structure that we already have, and then figuring out how to put that in place so that you have the... But basically, I feel like we did it quickly because we had I had a lot of really hardworking, determined staff people in the agency. We had a strong medical program and help from the medical marijuana agency folks. Industry played a huge role in being cooperative and not fighting necessarily too many regulations. They had an interest in having it go forward as well. And then all the public comment and public input that was through that task force process. So,
what was the biggest thing that surprised you in all of this?
Good or bad?
Either way.
So I think good was that just the amount of energy and the amount of people kind of coming together, and all of us, no matter whether you were an industry person or an agency person or a public safety person or a public health person, having the same goal is to create this a regulated program that's going to be strictly controlled and tightly regulated so that the agencies could protect the public health and safety, and that the industry could know that they were going to have a strong program and then not have to worry maybe about federal intervention or other things that could come along if there was some type of irregularity or illegal activity or unregulated part of the program. So that part, working with everybody and everybody coming together, was kind of the best part of it. You know, whenever you're trying to do something, so the negative, I guess, would be whenever you're trying to do something quickly, like we were doing, you don't have, you know, you have to make decisions quickly. And so you have to take the information that you have, analyze it, and make a decision like that. And you can't worry about, is that decision wrong at that point? And then, you know, you just have to kind of keep making the decisions. And there were twists and turns along the way. And then you reanalyze and you kind of say, okay, I didn't anticipate that was going to come up, and then you deal with that. And I think in this program and this market for this product, states will be doing that for 10 to 20 years as this gets, if this keeps going and becomes fully operational.
Do you have any doubts about that?
I don't know. I really don't. I think it would be really hard to get out of it now. There's so, you know, states every day are putting initiatives on the ballot, or even communities, not just states, so cities, or you know, I don't know how the federal government backs that up, but there still is that tension, right? So it's a federally illegal substance, and states are, you know, regulating and selling it. So until all of that is worked out, I think there's always going to be uncertainty in this market.
You know, Marlene, just to bring you into this discussion, I thought it was interesting that Cory Gardner out of Colorado figured out how to get the government to stop interfering by holding back, you know, the recommendations for judges, et cetera, in the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And the president responded to that.
Yes, he did.
All right, let's take a break. I wanted to talk to you about this because I just find it fascinating when you're dealing with, you know, the real issue of marijuana, which is you're taking it from something that was illegal for so many years and had so much stigma around it, and now you have the entire government and all these other agencies, public safety, et cetera, that are all involved in trying to do the best job they can. And to me, it seems that public safety has really done a great job of stepping back and allowing the will of the people to occur and not go crazy so that every 10 seconds you've got somebody being pulled over and thrown in jail, you know, for a DUI or something like that, as they try
Where's
to sort it
Dick
out.
Where's Dick Gamick?
Dick is probably at home seating at this point in time. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more after this.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. We can save you money and add comfort and value to your home. To find out how, check out our new website. If you visit the site before June, you could win $1,000 cash in a random drawing. Just enter your name, Nevada zip code, and email, and you could be the lucky winner. Go to homeenergyexperts.com. That's homeenergyexperts.com. Must be 18 or older. The drawing will be held June 1st.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Well, Dion, you went from your experience in state government to now wanting to be a policymaker and a legislator who will help craft laws like the marijuana. What made you make this decision to leave government and jump into politics?
Basically, public service. I've considered myself a public servant when I was when I worked for Catherine Cortez Masto at the Attorney General's office, and when I went to work at the agency. I was thinking about kind of life after. You know, we all know that the governor's term is coming to an end, and sometimes that means that agency people move on as well. And I started thinking about, well, what am I going to do next? And I thought, like, oh, I probably would just go to the private sector. But I kind of felt like that wouldn't be enough for me because I've always cared more about something more than just what myself and what was happening and wanting to stay involved and still be involved in the the issues that are important in our state. I never thought like, oh, I'm going to leave this job and run for office. I heard Amber Joyner wasn't going to run on the radio. I was driving across town and I thought, oh, well, maybe that's some way that I could still be involved. I could work as a lawyer, as a private lawyer, and then I could still be involved in, you know, policy and what was happening at a statewide level and be and participate in something like bigger than just myself and what I wanted to do for a career.
Well, you have an interesting race, a four-way primary, as mm-hmm. I understand it, and early voting is just right around the corner. Mm-hmm. What are you finding when you go door to door, and what's the top concern that people are talking to you about?
So what I'm finding when I go door to door is that people are really nice, and generally they want to talk to you about what's going on in the race. I think, you know, the primary is sneaking up on people, so there's like, you know, that reminder, you know, which is partly why you're there, to say like, hey, you know, the early vote's in 17 days and the primary is June 12th. In terms of the issues, you know, a lot of people talk about health care, the challenges of the system, making sure that we don't go back from, you know, the benefits that Nevada has seen with respect to the Affordable Care Act. Education is important as well. You know, the district includes the university as well, so both higher ed and K through 12 issues, families. You know, I'm a mom too, and my kid is in the school system. So, you know, we share that that concern. Those are two of the top issues. Again, this is a district where there's a lot of environmental, people that like the outdoors, support public lands and those and that type of policy. So that's another one that's kind of discussed a little
bit. So what's going to be your major focus?
So for me, the healthcare piece is really interesting to me, mostly because I don't have a ton of experience in the area, and so I could see it as a chance for me to use kind of the analytical skills and the other skills that I've developed, in my 12 years or almost 12 years of, being a state lawyer and then being an agency person to kind of figure out, last session there was that the bill to do the Medicaid buy-in. Mm-hmm. Called Sprinkle Care, essentially,
right.
And was vetoed. And I think we need to start. We need to keep working on something like that. I think this is a chance for states to be kind of innovative and a little bit more creative. And I think like going down that road with a state option is something that I'd be interested in working on. I feel, I don't have any grand revenue or any plans. I don't know where all the, sometimes people ask me like, you must know where all the secret money is. And I'm like, I don't, but I feel like I've been doing state and local taxation for 10 years. So I'm going to be a resource in any way that, the legislature, the caucus needs me to be in that regard. I don't have any plans right now.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Oh yeah, sure.
Mike Wilden was on the program last week, and he talked about, of course, the governor prepares the budget for
right.
the next governor, that they're looking potentially at as much as $500 million increase in the state budget. Are you good with that?
Well, I mean, I think it's going to have the devil's in the details, right? Carol Velardo, my old friend, used to say that, where is the money going to come from? How are we going to get it? Is growth enough? And so I think a lot of those discussions will occur, obviously, during the session. And then marijuana is important to me as well, just because, I built the program, and I'd like to see it continue to be a well-structured, well-funded, well-regulated at the state level so that we can make sure that as this industry grows that we're still protecting the public health and the public safety.
Are you in favor of smoking lounges? Because it seems crazy. You've got all these tourists coming here and no legal place for them to smoke it. They can't smoke it in their rooms. They can't smoke it in the casino. So they're going behind the back door.
Yeah, I think we have to solve, yes. I mean, in theory, yes, I am. But I feel like we need to have, there needs to be a regulatory structure around them that is similar to the regulatory structure around the industry, because I feel that if there's not, then that's a way for the feds to come in. So it needs to be fairly tightly regulated. The people need to be vetted that are going to get into it. I understand the problem, and I think there should be a solution. And I honestly, even though there was opinion that the local governments could do it, I think it should be done statewide, because I think then everybody has the same rules.
Right.
And there's not that inconsistency and then the concern. I mean, I know that...
And that's where we have to leave it.
Yeah.
So obviously, you need to come back.
Yeah.
Good luck in the race.
All right, thank
and,
you.
And we'll see what happens. Four Democrats running the Republicans.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Are you a homeowner who's interested in remodeling or building a home? At Design Outdoor, we can show you how adding natural or manufactured masonry stone can add beauty and value to your home. And we refer only the best contractors. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
One of the most psychologically damaging things parents can do to children in divorce is disparage one another, which is why I can't believe I even have to make this commercial. Half of your kids' genetics come from this person you're spewing hate about. Your children have the right to love you both, but more than that, they deserve to love themselves.
Marilyn York might be a men's rights divorce attorney, but this is for every selfish parent. Shut up!
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel as always. John Sandy IV is here. Alisa Cafferata, principal with Cafferata & Company. John, of course, is with Argentum Partners. And Don Tatro is executive director of the Builders Association of Northern Nevada. And Marlene leads off.
Okay. Well, we're in full political mode now with early voting for the primary on June 7th, just a few weeks away. And I wondered what your take was, each of you, on the political ads that have been running, probably in the governor's race, is what we have seen the most. What do you think? Are they effective, or what is your gut reaction to the ads?
Well, I think for both candidates, especially up here in the north, they're going to be very effective because not as many people know them. So these ads are really the first introduction that the candidates will have to make to the Northern Nevada electorate. And so I think it was important for especially Steve Sisolak, with the amount of money that he has, to try and head off some of the negative messages that we figured you would have against a moderate in a primary. So he was out there. He got out early on some key Democrat issues. And so I think that was an important tactic for his campaign to take.
I would agree. I think actually neither one of them is very well known anywhere in the state. And I think the conventional wisdom is that Christie really does have a long track record with progressives, and so she didn't need to spend as much time on that. And Steve Sisolak really needed to establish his bona fides. I've had a lot of people comment on his Planned Parenthood ad and how nice it is that he did that. He's going to be in a forum at in Las Vegas tonight, I think, and he'll have to answer more than just the soft, fuzzy questions about reproductive justice issues.
I think it's been interesting to watch the Democrats introduce themselves to Northern Nevada, because they're in a heated primary, so their introduction into Northern Nevada is how far to the left you can go and how you can energize that base, where Adam Laxalt's had a little easier introduction, as he already knows he's going to be running to curry the independent and sort of moderate voter. So it's a lot easier, I think, for him to make the introduction coming out of the gate here locally. But what I don't see is a big uproar or, I guess, focus on the election right now from the general public. I think it's pretty... We've had this chaotic atmosphere in the political arena that I think people haven't tuned in yet.
And, and that's the scary thing, is that the percentage of people voting in primaries who are actually registered to vote is so low that literally every vote counts, right?
Yes, and that's why I was wondering if you felt that the ads were effective, because in the Democratic primary for governor, that's huge, and it's just a few weeks away. And Steve got out there early, and so the recent poll that John Ralston did showed Sisolak way ahead of Chris, but then she immediately came up and has been advertising now. Do you think that their pitch is effective? I know you thought the Planned Parenthood was. What about Chris's ad and her teaching credentials and history?
Well, I think Chris is very appealing to a Democratic base audience. You know, I think that the polls that were done that showed Steve ahead so far ahead, I don't give too much credence to that. I think, to Don's point, I think this is going to be a really tough primary for both candidates, and they're going to have to weather some storms to get across the finish line this early in the race. Laxalt, he has a little bit cleaner path to the general.
And if it is a low turnout, who do you think that helps the most in the Democratic primary?
Again, I think the conventional wisdom is it helps Chris Gee because she is sort of an inveterate kind of progressive, and those are the people who will turn out. But, you know, what I would expect to see at this point is a lot of ads about Donald Trump and why progressives and Democrats need to turn out, and I'm not seeing that. And as you say, I mean, we could be looking at turnouts like 20%.
Or a lot less. Or 16% has been the norm.
Which is horrifying, and I don't think either campaign has a get-out-the-vote machine, really, at this point.
Okay, so here's the big question. So, you know, you've got Chris Gee, not a lot of money, but getting big support from NSEA, and so they've been able to run a lot of ads on her behalf. You've got Steve Sisolak being supported by Harry Reid, and Harry Reid's whole campaign machine is behind him, so you're seeing a ton of ads there. I would think that, you know, it's going to be fairly obvious that in Clark County, maybe not so obvious, because Steve Sisolak has had so much airtime because of what happened with the shooting last year and the way that he handled that. But does it come down to Washoe County? Just a quick answer from all of you.
Washoe County has made or broken a lot of elections in the past. I think Washoe County is going to be very important.
Does everybody agree? Because I'm not sure all the time.
Yes.
That's what we got to do.
It's important.
Thank you all. That was a good comment. We'll be right back. I got to watch the time.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
On our next broadcast, Ned Ross of the Nevada Retail Energy Supplies Association. We'll see you then.